Hine Kamikra has a, like halfway down the first paragraph of Kuf Yud Aleph. Hine Kamikra Hazeh, he was describing that when somebody loves somebody, so they don't just do what that person asks them to do, but they try to learn from everything that the person asks them, even to what's between the lines, to what the person didn't ask them specifically, because they get a feel for what that person values. Hine Kamikra Hazeh, like this thing, it happens, Gamkein Lemi Sha'ev Ezbayre Avon Amenes. This happens also to someone who loves his Creator, a true, a faithful love. This is also a type of oyev. It's an interesting gam. It's an interesting thing for those Sharam to say. That he gave a mashal of what happens to a person with his oyev, with his father or his friend or some type of oyev. And he said the same thing is true with Hashem, because Hashem is also an oyev. It's also a relationship. I think that gam might be because some people feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so beyond our understanding and so beyond our comprehension, that's not something that we could develop the type of feeling of Ava. So Mr. Trump is going to say, no, Kigam Humi Sukha Oyevim. That's also one of your relationships. It's also an Ava. V'tiyyena layam mitzvahs asher tzivuyam goloyum efursum legiloy das bilvad. The mitzvahs, instead of the mitzvahs serving as what I have to do, they'll be just a small part. The mitzvahs will be just a giloy das, a revealing Hashem's das, la das to know she'el ho'inyin ha'hu, that towards that inyin noita ritzaynei v'cheftzai yisbar shemoy, the ratzin of Hashem and his desire is noita. The more we understand about the mitzvahs, obviously, and the more we learn about the mitzvahs, the more we ma'ayin into the message that each mitzvah transmits, the more we could be sensitive to the ruach that's beneath it. And then he won't say, it's enough for me to do what it says b'feirish. Like so many people say, let me just get over with what I have to do. Let me just take care of what I have to take care of. Ela adarabba, rather the opposite is true. Yoimar, he should say, Kivon shekvar motzasi ro'isi, since I have found and I have seen, shechefza yizbarach shemay noita lozeh, that the desire of Hashem is noita in this direction, yi'eli le'enayim, it will be it'll open my eyes, it'll shed light. Leharbo yizbezeh ha'inyin, to be marba in this inyan. If I see that Hashem is a mitzvah of helping someone who's, I see that his chamor is buckling under the pressure, and to go help him out so that his chamor should be able to stand straight again. So I see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is racham aval kol masav. I see that Hashem has such compassion and such care for the nevroim. So then I understand Hashem's ratzon. Hashem's ratzon is that we should develop the midah of rachamim and express it in many different ways. And so on, we call mitzvah a mitzvah. If we can get to the root of the mitzvah to understand it, it affects our midas. It doesn't just stay as a mitzvah that I'm just doing because I'm an Eved Hashem and I have to do his mitzvah. But it gives me a message. It gives me a lesson. That he wants to give nachas to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And it's important for us to realize that this Mesilas Yesharim is not describing a little bit of a mile in doing mitzvahs. It's not a very, very important thing. Especially for us, that we're far, far, far from the midah of chasidus. And yet, in this paragraph about chasidus is a very, very important lesson that is nageya to us. It is nageya to us in our lives now. That's one of the reasons that we continue to learn Mesilas Yesharim, even after we learn the first few pages, and we realize that we're way beyond it. There are a few reasons why, and we go through them every once in a while, the few reasons why we continue to learn the whole Mesilas Yesharim, where we once made a big siyum on Mesilas Yesharim. And one of the reasons is because even though each madrega we may not be holding on, but the Mesilas Yesharim is so full of lessons that could affect us even on our own madrega. And in this case, this is one of those cases. Because the difference between someone who does the mitzvahs, because this is what I have to do and I'm not interested in anything else. This is what I have to do. I'm not interested in trying to read between the lines. I'm not doing that. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's what I'm going to do, and finished. And someone who tries to read between the lines is a very, very, very big difference. And the difference is, am I living my life however I'd like to live it? And agav, I'm going to try as much as possible to push the Rabbanu Shalom's agenda, or is my whole life to push the Rabbanu Shalom's agenda? And if you think about it, in this world, among frum yidden, there's two different types of frum yidden. And it happens when a person is young. He decides his path in life. There's different types of frum yidden. There are some frum yidden that their main focus in life is to be the proper servant of Hashem. And they also want to, as a side thing, they also, kolechad kafi madrigasa. He doesn't spend the whole time doing his avodas Hashem. He also does other things. But generally, his general focus in life, his general goal in life, if you have to put his most general goal in life, it's not to serve himself, it's to serve the Rabbanu Shalom. That's his most general hashkafa, his approach to life. And you have other people who could be in the same base manager or the same shul or the same family, sitting by the same table, and they look exactly the same from the outside. But still, you have other people that their main focus in their life is because they want to be rich or influential or happy or even happy or healthy or whatever they want, whatever their goal is. But since they're from, they also have to work their from kite in. A little bit of that has to do with what we talked about yesterday, but that's just like one example of what I mean. The Suda of Achashverosh, we're just coming off Purim. The Suda of Achashverosh will start to go back a few times. It's much safer for us. That's not too relevant. No Achashverosh anymore. Talk about the Suda of Achashverosh. The Suda of Achashverosh is a good example. Someone goes to the Suda of Achashverosh, it's 100% kosher, everything. From the buffalo wings to the sweet and sour chicken to the Chinese food everything was 100%, 100% kosher, shechita, everything, 100% kosher. So what's wrong with going? What is wrong with it? What's wrong with going? If you think about it, and this is a little bit of a different time maybe than you've heard about the chisaron of the Suda of Achashverosh. If you think about it, the difference, what's going on when you go to a Suda of Achashverosh is, I want to be a Persian. That's what it is. I want to be a Persian. Of course, I'm not going to let it get in the way of my frumkeit. I'll work in my frumkeit also to my Persianness. But it's not, I want to be a Jew. That you didn't go to the Suda of Achashverosh for. It's not, I have to work in my Olam Hazeh while I'm serving Hashem. That's not the focus of my life. It's, I have to work in my Yiddishkeit while I'm trying to be a Persian over here. And this is a painful, painful truth that so many people in today's generation also are nana Suda of Achashverosh. So many people today, and it's time now when we're young and we're in yeshiva, it's a good time to think about it, that they want to live the life. So, Baruch Hashem, I can get Chinese kosher food. Baruch Hashem, I could, and on. I don't want to get distracted by the details. I could say it and it will make us smile, but I don't want to get distracted by it. One of the examples that I didn't say yesterday about yesterday's subject was a big advertisement in a newspaper. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. I don't remember when it was. Don't lose out on New Year's Eve just because it falls out on Shabbos. Amazing, no? Imagine. We'll get together in a hotel and we'll watch fireworks together, whatever it is, even though it's Friday night. That's a Gevaldige example. The main thing is, I can't lose out on New Year's Eve. And Baruch Hashem, we're very inventive. We figured out a way that we won't be pagaya in Shabbos. But the tzura is not that my life is focused on doing the ruts in Hashem, and I have to fit my life, and I also have to make a parnas, and I have to take care, and I have to do. There's other things I have to do, and I'm going to make that also part of my avodas Hashem. But the tzura is, I want to live the good life. Oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm able to live the good life and also have, and not be pagaya in my frumkeit, Baruch Hashem. It was risky there for a minute, Baruch Hashem, I'm able to do that. the joke behind the whole thing, the secret is that when we're on this side of the fence, that we're trying to work our Yiddishkeit into our life, it's not always so easy. Sometimes we have to catch it, and it doesn't go so geschmack. You know, like we were learning, we were reading that advertisement for a hotel yesterday. So I want to go to a luxurious resort, and I'll have a daf yomi share, but the goal wasn't to go learn. I'm not going there to learn. I'm going there because I want to go to a luxurious resort, and I'm able to, Baruch Hashem, I was able to fit my Yiddishkeit in. Baruch Hashem, I'm able to fit in my Yiddishkeit. You know, it's true, but summer homes, there's a lot of times you get that impression. That Baruch Hashem, we got our Yiddishkeit, we were able to fit our Yiddishkeit into our lifestyle. But not that our lifestyle is our Yiddishkeit. I'm not talking about here about wealthy or not wealthy. It's nothing to do with that. And whatever level a person is on financially, but a person's lifestyle could be his Yiddishkeit, or a person's lifestyle could be his lifestyle, and he could try to fit in his Yiddishkeit. But the secret, and listen to the secret very, very well, because it's a very, very true secret, is that the person who focused his life on his Avodas Hashem, and he's trying to fit the rest of his life into his Avodas Hashem, is leading a far, far, far finer, more satisfying, more lichtig a life than the person who's constantly dealing with the frustration of trying to fit his Yiddishkeit into his Avodas Hashem. It's not so easy, though. It's a portion of frustration. He creates a milchama. And that's what's the amazing thing, is that the Yetzer Hara does such a good job on us, that he actually makes us pick the harder way. It's an amazing thing. He actually makes us pick the harder way. I once learned, I'm not sure if it's a guru, I'm not sure where I learned this, that we know that the Yetzer Hara dresses up every Dvar Yisr. He dresses up, he makes it, I remember Rabbi Breuer, you guys know Rabbi Breuer? Pinchas Breuer? From my good of Emmanuel? You know who he is? Oh, you know who he is? So he once spoke in the Kail that I was in Brooklyn. He spoke Hanukkah time. And he had just come to America then. So it was very, very, very interesting. Bechlal is a very good speaker, and he's a very, very interesting speaker. So he was speaking to us. A guy started falling asleep. He first came, he came to the Kail as a guest, and a guy, you know, in the back started falling asleep. In the middle of his first time, he was suddenly on the table. And we were all like, what happened? He didn't care. We walked in for the first time. Someone's falling asleep. We woke him up. It was woke me up. It's not woke me up about who I was dealing with there. And he just went on. So he says that it was he started to talk about that he had to go to the Chaim Berlin dinner. And it was in Manhattan that year. And he said that he went to Manhattan. It was his first time, really, going to Manhattan at night. And I still rings in my ears. I have a tape of it at home. It still rings in my ears. He said that I got out of the car, and all the schmutz in the world was sparkling at me. And that was such a good mashal. That's how he used it, I think, also. It's such a good mashal. All the schmutz in the world, and there's lights, and it's action, and it's blinking, and all the schmutz is sparkling at me. So the Yetzer Hara has to do that. The Yetzer Tov is what maybe it was Meshem the Guru. I don't remember who I heard it from. The Yetzer Tov doesn't do that. You know that? The Yetzer Tov does not put on a show at all. There's nothing drawing you to do a mitzvah, except for the mitzvah itself. There's nothing drawing you to learn Gemara except for the Gemara itself. There's no satisfaction from a mitzvah except for the real satisfaction of the mitzvah. Ta'averus is not there. Ta'averus, the Yetzer Hara dresses it up in dimion and fantasy, and fantasy on top of fantasy on top of fantasy. What? He needs to work harder. Because if the Yetzer Hara didn't do that, there would be no competition. If the Yetzer Hara didn't dress it up, there would be no competition. Everyone would pick themselves up and run after the Yetzer Tov. It's such a no-brainer. It's such an easy decision. It's so much more satisfying to live like a Yid. It's so much more satisfying to focus my Avodas Hashem on my Avodas Hashem instead of trying to live a meaningless, empty life and also try to stuff in a little nitzchias. It's like absurd. It's absurd. I'm going to live for a couple of years here, a small amount of time. And Agav, if I have a couple of minutes, and if I'm able to, I'll also assure myself billions of years of happiness. If I, you know, when I have time for it, when it fits in. I'll get that Daf Yomi share while I'm enjoying my few short years over here before I get too old to enjoy anything. It's like the whole thing is absurd. And the only way that the Yetzer Hara gets us to go along with these meshuggah absurdities, you know, like imagine like a guy goes, you know, even to use the classic mashalim, the classic mashalim. Imagine a guy goes to a place where you know, let's use the classic mashalim. He goes to a place with his a beach, with his seashells, and he's collecting seashells. And his friend says, "What are you collecting seashells for? Don't you see there are jewels, diamonds all over the beach?" And he says, "Okay, if I get tired from collecting seashells a little bit, I'll also fit in some diamonds." That's why we live our life. We spend our whole life collecting seashells, and if we have a little bit of time, also we can work it in. We'll also work in a couple of diamonds. Or if the bag is too full, we'll make sure to empty out the diamonds so we can fit more seashells in. That's the way we live our life. It's a no-brainer. It's a joke. And the only reason that we fall for it is for a fake. It's a fantasy. It's a fake. It's a fake. The Yetzer Hara dresses it up. The Yetzer Hara, yesterday's newspaper advertisement. The spa and jacuzzi. We talked about jacuzzis a couple of months ago. Spas and jacuzzi and the outdoor tennis and the indoor pool and inevitably it's so hyped up, and the brochures and everything, it's so hyped up. I was in a hotel in the summer, and it was a brand new hotel. It just opened. It was a Holiday Inn, a regular hotel, but it had just been built. So I went to Massachusetts with my wife for a day. So they told me on the phone, I bought my house the day before I went. So I was in the lawyer's office, so I was there with Rafael Max. So we looked up on the internet to find myself a hotel. So it was very big on the advertisements also that they have a business center. They have a business center. I'm not a businessman, but that was an interesting thing. You have a business center. They have a full-time use of a computer and an internet hookup and a printer and everything. I'm imagining this big, massive business center. I was like intrigued. Like I knew I was going to go check this place out when I got to that hotel. I was going to check it out. A business conference, business, I don't remember what it was. I was going to check it out. You know, I ordered a room and so on and so forth. And you want this in the room and this in the room and this in the room. And I spent more money to get more things, you know, because I go on vacation with my wife once a year for about 25 hours. So I wanted to make it as geschmack as possible for her. I get to the hotel, we come in, we unpack, we settle down. We had a baby with us. Settle down the baby. I've got to check out the business center. While you get supper ready, whatever it is, I got to check out this business center. I go out, looking and looking and looking. I can't find the business center. Finally, I see this little room. I open the door. It's a stuffy, hot room. It's a stuffy, hot room. I can't even describe it. It's a fancy new hotel. There's no air conditioning in there, I don't think. It was brutally hot in there with a tiny computer. One computer. I don't even know if there was a printer in the room. One computer without a high-speed connection. Checked it out. Without a high-speed connection. Imagine. I was sure I was gonna come in. I would see all these fancy businessmen doing business. I thought I'd like see like a matzah. Then now I really get to come back when the sales yeshava share and talk about you know something, a story to tell. You know, they have a fancy business center. And I come in, and there's like this little dinky computer. My computer at home is much better. This new thing, and we have a business center. Our whole life is like this. Our whole life, and all the added things that I paid extra for in the room were all, you know, on the computer, when I looked at it, you can click to see a picture of the rooms. You see this room, it looks about the size of this base measure. It's huge, and they give you a tour. You can do this on the internet. You can get a virtual tour of your hotel room. So they show you a 360 around. I didn't know that they're going like 1 inch every 10 minutes. I thought, I'm like, it's endless. This room is endless. It's just endless. And it's like the whole hallway. I didn't realize that the door is like, that. You know, you get out of bed and you buy the door. I didn't realize that. It's like this long, it's incredible, just luxurious. It's nothing, nothing. Fireplace, there's a little switch. You turn on the fireplace, electric thing. Fake fireplace. It was a joke. The whole, you think I'm the only one that had this? Every vacation come out that every person ever took is like this. Come out. If the person got much, much more, it's because he paid $10,000 and he got $1,000 worth instead of me who paid $156 and I got $100 worth. But that's what life is like. Avodas Hashem is exactly the opposite. It's haschalas kashas. It's very hard to focus properly, and it's hard to get into it. But everyone knows that when you feel that connectedness, that click, the sugya works. The shir is geshmak. You're mechavet to something. You could say a chabura. You accomplish a yontif properly. It's coming before Pesach now. It's time to start working up the cheshek to do 8 days properly. That when the end of yontif, you could sing chasal seder Pesach at the end. I'm talking about of yontif, not the end of the seder. You could sing chasal seder. You know that you spent 8 days properly. You learned good and you davened good. You know, the end of Sukkot, you shook your lulav every single day and you did that anu and properly and you by Hashanah and you heard Kriyas HaTorah. You know you did it properly. That geshmak of feeling, that's real. That's a real geshmak. That's a real feeling. That's not looking something up on the internet and getting faked out in the end. That's in the beginning, I couldn't imagine how geshmak it would be. And it turned out to be even more satisfying and more geshmak. And the more I was involved, instead of getting more and more bored, the more geshmak and the more different worlds opened up to me. I think it's one of the world's best kept secrets that as we learn Vayter, we've come across this again and again. As we learn Vayter and Mesillas Yesharim, I think we're discovering more and more of a reason to be jealous of the person Mesillas Yesharim was talking about. Amol, we used to learn through Mesillas Yesharim, and we used to feel bad for the person Mesillas Yesharim was talking about. Oh, he's no Olam Hazeh. And then even, you know, the first you have Precious is to keep away from Olam Hazeh. And then you have Nikias, that even what you do should be for the right reason. Nikias is also to keep away. And then Tahara is that even what you do should be for the right reason. So, you know, the way we used to look at Mesillas Yesharim is, first he can't have any extra Olam Hazeh. Then even the Olam Hazeh that he could have, he has to be Mamayat. And then even the little bit that he's doing, he can't enjoy. You know, like, poor guy. You know, not for me. You know, and he learned Hasidus. First, he has to do 613 mitzvahs. Oh, thank you very much, Mr. You know, Rabbi Ramchal. Not only you have to do 613 mitzvahs, you have to figure out 20,000 other things that the 613 mitzvahs represent. No, thank you. But after we really read Mesillas Yesharim, we really learn Mesillas Yesharim, we focus on what he wants, we realize that the opposite is true. Because the opposite is true. We're the ones being left out in the cold. We're the ones that are losing out. We're the ones that are being neglected here. This Baal Musar, this Talmud Chacham that's living in Mesillas Yesharim, he's giving up one distracting, superficial, boring, drab thing after the next. And he's embracing one after the next, a colorful, exciting, geschmack, embracing, warm, focused, satisfying existence. And we should have to sit here, if for nothing else, we have to sit here and learn Mesillas Yesharim and be jealous of the person who does Zrizos, and then who does Zahiris, and then Zrizos, and then Nikios and Precious and Tahara and so on. The sooner that we believe that, the sooner that we believe it, that we focus on it, we realize that it's true, and we stop paying attention to the fake mirage that the Yetzer places over us, and when we look up on the internet for the hotel room, we actually realize that there must be some kind of fake going on, and we realize that it's all a fake. And we're not stupid like I was and get fooled every single year again. You know, we realize that if the 15 things that I did were not satisfying, and the 15 places that I went were not satisfying, the next 15 won't be satisfying either. If we don't, the sooner that we do that, then we start developing a real, 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 real good, healthy geschmack of jealousy of the Eivet Hashem, it could help us. If this one little nekuda could change a person's life, and it doesn't have to be something on the outside, that he's living his life because he wants to do the Ratzon Hashem. And he's going to fit life into that. He's going to fit his life into that. Instead of living his life and trying to fit the Ratzon Hashem in somehow. Such a difference. I want to be Mekayim the Ratzon Hashem. I have to live. So I'm going to fit my life in. Not, I have to live. Oh, Hashem also needs to be made happy. Okay, fine, I'll try to make him happy too. So think about it a little bit. It's exactly, it can look exactly the same from the outside, but it's a world of a difference from the inside.